Sons of David. I initially was going to read the first 13 verses tonight, but just for the sake of time, we'll just read down through verse number 5. In these introductory verses to this chapter, what we'll find tonight is something of a very basic, important biblical principle. And we can learn that from David's life here, or the example that he set here concerning his desire to know God's will for his life. He had a definite desire to know God's plan, God's direction as to what God wanted him to do. And he was very adamant about coming before the Lord and saying, "Lord, please show me what I need to do." That is a good biblical principle for all of us here tonight, for all of our lives, for all of our lives, entirely, the entire of our life, they would have that desire. So let's look at this very quickly. 1 Samuel chapter 23, and beginning with verse number 1. It says, "Then they told David, saying, 'Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they rob the threshing floors.' Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, 'Shall I go and smite these Philistines?' And the Lord said unto David, 'Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah.' And David's men said unto him, 'Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?' Then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, 'Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand.' So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah." As far as it can be determined, David was a young man, probably no more than 20 years of age, when he was forced to leave Saul's palace, forced to leave his own home because of Saul's relentless determination to destroy him. And driven to the wilderness of Judea, David was forced to live the life of a fugitive for at least nearly 10 years. Living as a fugitive, fleeing from Saul, David's life was filled with dramatic, action-packed, perilous experiences. The events of chapter 23 represent, I should say, only a fraction of David's activity during this period of time. I believe God was teaching David many things in those days, things which were working together to prepare David to be the kind of leader who would glorify God and inspire his people in their worship and in their service unto God. In our last study of David, we found him hiding out in the cave of Adullam. Well, later on in the story, we wouldn't take time to study it or to read it, but God sends his prophet, a prophet by the name of Gad, to David and tells him to leave the cave and to return to the land of Judah. 1 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 5 tells us, it says, "Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth." Now, to the natural eye, it probably looks strange that God would order David to leave a place of safety for him and his men, and then to return to a place of danger. But God had a work. He had a work for his servant to do, and part of David's duty was to assist the inhabitants of Keilah in fighting against the army of the Philistines. David did not know all of the details of what laid ahead for him, but his primary concern and focus was to obey the will of the Lord, trusting him to lead him and to use him as he saw fit. So in chapter 23, David would live out the truth that is taught in Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 5 and 6, which says, "To trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." So tonight we want to look at this and see what we can learn from the example of David. Here, while in flight from Saul, David did more than remain in hiding. He also fought on the behalf of his people. And so in this situation, we come to chapter 23. David was informed about a situation where the Philistines were robbing the threshing floors of the city of Keilah. David was told about this either directly from the men of Keilah or themselves, or he was told indirectly through his own men. But in either case, what David learned was that there was a dangerous and a serious situation here. And this passage concerning David and the town of Keilah, I think, gives us some good help on knowing the will of God. One of the great problems among God's people is the failure to know and to do God's will for their life. There may be some cases where the believer may actually know what God's will is for his or her life, but refuses to do it. And to embark upon such a path, of course, is to put yourself upon a collision course with the chastening hand of Almighty God. However, in many instances, you have a situation where professing believers have not a clue as to what God's will is for their life. And to make matters worse, they have little or no interest at all in knowing the will of God. And it's this lack of knowledge and this lack of interest about God's will that will sooner or later bring upon their lives serious trouble and heartache and suffering. Lacking a knowledge of the will of God makes people ignorant in the most important knowledge of all. Now, somebody may know of 10,000 other things in life, but that will never make up for the failure to know what is the will of God. So there are three important factors, I believe, that helped David to ascertain the will of God regarding the city of Keilah. And all three of these things, I believe, play a prominent role in our own lives when it comes to determining God's will for our life. And those three things may be summarized this way: providence, prayer, and precept. First of all, consider the providence. Sometimes external circumstances can be used to help us to determine what God's will is for our lives. Now, you have to understand, circumstances alone do not determine the will of God, but God often uses those circumstances as signposts to point out His will for us. So take David's case here for an example, the town of Keilah. Well, the town of Keilah was located in the general vicinity of the cave of Adullam. The cave of Adullam, where David had formerly been hiding. And it was also near the forest of Hereth, where David and his men were now camping out. Now, do you think that was by accident? I don't think so at all. It was by the divine providence of God that David was hiding out where he was, and where word could be delivered to him, telling him about the situation in this town called Keilah. There are no accidents. There are no chance. There's no luck in the lives of God's people. It is God who is commanding. It is God who is directing. It is God who is permitting and governing in the affairs of His creation and in the lives of His people. Providence. We talked about this in our Sunday school this morning. But providence is the work of a loving God in the behalf of all of God's children. The God who created all things sustains and rules over all things to the praise of His own glory and for the good of His own people. Providence means that all things are accomplished by the direction, by the control of an all-wise, all-loving, all-powerful God. And no matter how mysterious or perplexing the providence of God may be, we, the redeemed of the Lord, must plant our faith on the sure promise of the Word of God that He will work out all things together according to His own good pleasure and will. We can know beyond all doubt that every aspect of our lives is in God's hands and will be divinely used by the Lord, not only to manifest His own glory, but also to work things out for our own ultimate blessing. And so with that in mind, we think of the providence here that was working here in the behalf of David to help him to ascertain, to determine what God's will for his life. And then prayer comes into play here. The Bible says here that when David heard the news of what was taking place in Keilah, that he immediately sought God in prayer so as to find out, what his duty should be concerning this situation. As David goes to the Lord in prayer, I think there's several things that we can learn from him concerning his attitude in his praying, as it is recorded here in verse number 2. The Bible says in verse 2 that David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." Now, if you would, consider with me, please, that we see David's concern about, first of all, God's will. One does not seek the Lord in earnest prayer about what to do unless one is sincerely concerned about God's will. David was very concerned that he do what God wanted him to do. Nothing else was more important to him at this particular moment of time than God's will. And I think one of the great hallmarks of David's character was his earnest concern about the will of God. He writes about this on several occasions. For example, in Psalm 143 and verse number 8, he asks the Lord, he says, "Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk." In that same Psalm, Psalm 143, verse number 10, he asks the Lord again, "Teach me to do Thy will, for Thou art my God. Thy Spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness." Now, there is nothing that we ought to be more concerned about than knowing and doing the will of God. This is a biblical principle that prevails from the times of the Old Testament all the way through the times in the New Testament. And even Paul writes about this. He said, did he not, that in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 2, that we are to prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And that word "prove" that Paul used in Romans 12, 2, that means to test, to examine. It means being able to discern and to determine what God's will is. And in that passage, Paul reveals that as a believer is transformed in his mind, changed in his way of thinking by the spiritual influence of the Word of God, he says such a believer will come to realize the importance and come to realize the necessity of God's will being done in his life and not his own will. And such a believer will discover that God's will is what's good for him, and that it's God's will that pleases God, and that it's God's will that is complete in every way. In other words, God's will is all that a believer needs. And in that context, in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, Paul there reveals that there's three key factors for knowing God's will. He talks about a yielded body, he talks about a separated life, and he talks about a transformed mind. Our wills should desire only what God desires and lead us to do only what He wants us to do in the way that He wants us to do it, according to His will and by His power. Our imperfect wills must always be subject to God's perfect will. And a transformed mind produces a transformed will by which we become eager and able, with the Spirit's help, to lay aside our own plans and to trust and to accept God's plan for our lives, no matter what the cost. And so there is nothing more important in a believer's life than knowing and doing God's will for our life. But there was something else that helped David in determining God's will here. His attitude here in his praying was his concern about God's will. Another thing about his attitude was his concern about Keilah's well-being. We see his concern about this town's well-being. David's prayer in verse 2 showed a genuine concern about the well-being of these people at Keilah. And it's evident from his prayer that when he heard the news of their loss, he was ready to help them. Now, even though David, think about it, he had a multitude of problems of his own. He did not allow his problems to keep him from trying to help out others who were in need. And what a testimony. What an example David has left for us to follow. 1 Corinthians 12:25 instructs God's people to have the same care one for another. The Bible teaches us in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2. It says, to bear ye one another's burdens. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us to look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So what I'm saying is, from these references, we learn that we are not to be so much concerned or preoccupied with ourselves and with our own trials and with our own tribulations, that we should seek to have a special care and concern for the well-being and for the welfare of our brothers in Christ. We are to seek out ways, seek out opportunities where we can be a blessing, where we can be an encouragement to our fellow believer. And sometimes we can become so wrapped up and so involved with our own problems that we fail to take notice and to see the needs of others. And as members of the body of Christ, we are to watch out for one another. David here had a loving and a caring concern for the folks of Keilah. So another thing we can see in his attitude, in his praying, was that there was that concern about God's will. There was his concern about Keilah's well-being. And then we see also his concern about his work, about what he was supposed to do. Notice that David's prayer was very specific in verse 2. He said, Lord, shall I go and smite these Philistines? Protecting the Israelites was going to be David's future work as king. But David wanted to know from the Lord what his particular job to do was right then and there. And as one writer said, David was not primarily concerned about the glory and the prestige of being king. He was more concerned about his royal responsibilities. His prayer indicated that he was not taken up with the honors of his anointing, but with the duties of his anointing. His prayer said that his interest was more about serving than it was about being served. And I believe that is true. David's concern, as revealed by his prayer, is similar to that of the Apostle Paul. When the Lord saved him, and the first thing that Paul asked of the Lord, he said in Acts chapter 9 and verse 6, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? That is a question that every believer should ask on a daily basis. What is it specifically that God would have us to do for him today? David's prayer said a lot. Said a lot about his character. It said that his primary concern was for God's will to be done in and through his life. It said that he wanted to be doing exactly what God wanted him to be doing. His prayer said that God and his perfect plan was more important to him than anything else in his life. So we see the things here, the three things that helped David in determining God's will was providence, and it was prayer, and the last thing is precept. There are three things that helped David to determine what God's will was for him concerning the town of Keilah. Providence, prayer, precept. Now, a divine precept, if you notice here, was given to David, which revealed and made final what God's will was for David. And God's divine command was this, to go and to smite the Philistines and save Keilah. And this precept given to David, I think, gives us two important lessons that we can learn. First of all, where to learn the will of God. Where to learn the will of God. There is only one place God's people can go to learn and to know of God's will, and that is to the Word of God. The Bible makes the will of God plain and certain. The Holy Scriptures is the final authority regarding God's will. And as I already pointed out, providence can be helpful in discovering the will of God. But if it contradicts what the Bible teaches, then we must follow what the Bible instructs us to do. God's Word has the final say on what is or what is not the will of God. Praying is important in discovering the will of God. But our praying about a certain matter must not contradict the Word of God as well. So no amount of praying will compensate for disobeying God's Word. And no amount of praying will cancel out or overturn a precept of God's Word. So our praying should be about discerning God's will in God's Word. So another thing we can learn from this is not only where to learn the will of God, but who learns the will of God. It is obvious, I think, from the context of this passage, that David's attention to providence and his action of prayer, that he was very much concerned. He was very much earnest about knowing the will of the Lord in this matter, in the situation that he found himself in. David did not approach the situation with a nonchalant, indifferent, haphazard attitude. He was resolute. He was unwavering. He was persistent in knowing what God wanted him to do. And so he inquired of the Lord, if you notice, a second time in verse number 4. And then in verse 11, he says, O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant. Now, the thing is, whenever the people of God sincerely seek to know the will of God, they will not be disappointed. They will not be let down by the Lord. God does not want His people to live in ignorance. He does not want us to live in ignorance. He wants us to know what His will is. And He blesses and He rewards His people who are focused, who are determined, who are steadfast in knowing and doing His will. And you can count on God to reveal His will to you if you really want to know it. And so those who walk and who live in ignorance of God's will have really no excuse. And they have no one to blame but themselves. God blessed and answered David's prayer. The last part of verse number 4. It says again, the Lord said, Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand. Now, that's pretty plain. That's pretty plain and plain spoken by the Lord. One writer had this to say. This encouragement for doing the will of God is a wonderful blessing of God. Those who are earnestly seeking to gain assurance of the will of God when difficulty comes will not only receive assurance, but they will also receive needed encouragement to counter every difficulty. Hence, let us not hesitate to take our problems regarding God's will to God in prayer. Be earnest about doing the will of God, and you will be given the needed assurance and the encouragement to do it. Verse number 5 says, So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Verse number 5, I think, is very significant. We may overlook it and just look at that and say, what's the big deal? But from that verse, I think we can learn one significant, important truth concerning the will of God, and that's this. Now listen to me carefully. It's imperative that we not only know what the will of the Lord is, but that we must also do it. We must also obey it. And so in that verse, we see this. We see David's promptness in his obedience. David here did not hesitate He did not delay. Once God revealed His will, David was obligated to obey it immediately. And delay in doing the will of God is a road to defeat. Don't delay. So we see David's promptness in his obedience. We see David's priority in his obedience. David obeyed in spite of his own pressing circumstances and needs. And even though he had plenty of problems on his own, he knew that the greatest problem in his life would be to fail to obey God's will for his life at that particular moment of time. And listen, if we're going to do the will of God, it must have priority over everything else. The will of God must have top priority in your life if you're going to live a life of victory and blessing. We see here what? We see now David's where his promptness in his obedience. We see the priority in his obedience. And now we see David's productiveness as a result of his obedience. David's obedience to God's will resulted in what way? First of all, it resulted in spoil for David's men. It says in verse number 5, what? They brought away their cattle. Obeying God and His will provided food and sustenance for David and his army. This emphasizes the great truth that the best way to have your daily needs supplied is to walk in the path of obedience. So we see that David's obedience to God's will resulted in spoil for David's men. It also resulted in slaughter of the Philistines. Verse number 5 says that it was a great slaughter. We're not told how many were killed. It doesn't really matter. But obedience is in the business of accomplishing great things for God. And we so often limit our blessings, limit our successes, limit our victories, because we limit our obedience. And the reason we're not conquering the enemy is because it may be we're not obeying God as we should. So David's obedience to God's will resulted in spoil for David's men. It resulted in the slaughter of the Philistines. And last of all, it resulted in the salvation for the people of Keilah. David's obedience helped to save their lives and their crops. And the best way to help people is to obey God, obey His Word, obey His will. Somebody once said this, that we need this truth emphasized more today. And one place it needs much more emphasis is in the church. Churches are coming up with more and more different and novel methods of promotion for increasing in attendance and raising money. But they ignore the best promotion program of all, namely, obedience to God. And if the church wants to see people saved through the preaching of the gospel, as successfully as David saved the inhabitants of Keilah, let the church members live obedient lives. This particular incident in David's life proves that it is impossible to serve the Lord and to have His abundant blessings without knowing and doing God's perfect will. The teaching of Scripture is plain and simple. The people of God are to discern and to know what God would have them to do. We are to learn and we are to understand what God's will is for our life. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17 says this, "Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." God wants us to understand what His will is. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 9, He says this, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled," now notice, "with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding." To be filled with the knowledge of God's will. We must not only know God's will, but beloved, we must do it in and through His power and strength working in us. And that's why the Scripture says then, reminds us in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 21, that it's the Lord that does what in you? Make you perfect in every good work. Why? To do His will, it says. Working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ. Listen, that which well pleases, that which pleases God very well is when God's people are seeking to do His will. And He gives you the strength. And He gives you the guidance. He gives you the help that you might do what He would have you to do. The believer who attempts to live his life apart from God's will end up weak, frustrated, ineffective, both in his personal life and in his service for God. The only cure for such foolishness is to find and to follow the will of the Lord. God's deepest desire for all of His children is that they know and obey His will, and He gives us every possible help both to know and to obey it. And I will close with 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 2. Speaking of the believer, what are we to do? That he, that is the believer, you and I, that we no longer should live the rest of his time, your time, my time, no longer live live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of men. But what time God gives us, what are we to be doing? He says we are to live to the will of God. Live to the will of God. That is what we need to be concerned about. That is what we need to be aware of, and that we need to seek as to what the Lord would have us to do. Lord, what wilt Thou have me to do? Let us pray. Father, we bow before You tonight. And Lord, we thank You for David and for the example that he sets before us concerning